You're listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY. DIY.
Oh. Musician.
Musician. Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 120 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin, and joining me for this roundtable edition is The Bolt and Chris.
Hello.
Hey.
Good to be back.
I know.
Yeah, for the diehard listeners, it's been a little while. For those of you who just discovered us in iTunes last week, we're here with another episode.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been a year. I don't know if it's been that long, but it feels...
It's been a while. Things have happened.
Yes.
In our lives. Chris is in a different Portland.
That's right.
I am.
That's right. So yeah, we're just all over the place. Life changes, but we're back.
Yep. I lost myself. I found myself. I lost myself again.
Yep. But anyway, so yeah, we've got quite a few episodes lined up for you. Basically what happened is, you know, the show just got re-upped. We were in negotiations for a while. They finally re-upped the show, so we're back.
Right.
The bad news is that there was a writer's strike during that time, and so we have no new material for you.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. We actually had numerous failed attempts of recording new episodes, but we're back, and we have other episodes in the can ready to go, and lots of exciting stuff to have on the DIY Musician Podcast. So... enough of that. Let's get to it.
All right.
We're going to start out with some news headlines. Well, it's been an exciting couple weeks here at CD Baby with the official launch of CD Baby Pro, a new service to help independent artists collect worldwide publishing royalties for their original music. The idea is simple. Artists should be paid all the available revenue for their music. CD Baby Pro will affiliate you as a songwriter with ASCAP or BMI, the two main performing rights organizations in the U.S., get your songs registered with collection agencies around the world and collect all available publishing royalties on your behalf, including mechanical and performance royalties. We have a lot more in store for you concerning CD Baby Pro, but in the meantime, head on over to cdbaby.net/pro and check it out.
And that's just for U.S. artists right
yes,
now.
Yes, U.S. Yep. only. Pandora recently announced that it now has 200 million registered users in the U.S., last month, Pandora said it played more than 100,000 unique artists and more than 1 million unique songs, making it an increasingly important revenue stream for artists. But it's a source of income that Pandora says it needs to cut in order for the company to become profitable. So how did you celebrate World Intellectual Property Day? The top folks over at the U.S. Copyright Office gathered to urge members of Congress to overhaul current copyright law and usher in the next great Copyright Act. As mentioned, the address was delivered on the anniversary of World Intellectual Property Day at the Library of Congress, and this should help speed the movement towards a new version of the U.S. Copyright Act that will help address some gray areas left by the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and accommodate new copyright issues brought on by the digital revolution. And those were some of the main headlines I saw that were hanging out there that were... of note, worthy of discussion. First off, we have to talk about CD Baby Pro.
Before we do, though, what was the actual date of World Intellectual Property Day?
I don't know, but apparently
it's not
on my
calendar.
Because
how do I know what I was doing on that day?
I don't know. This is concerning to me.
I'd like to think I was celebrating it somehow, but...
Yeah, I wasn't celebrating it. I know that much.
My family chooses not to celebrate World Intellectual Property Day. It's just a personal choice. We'll get to that in a second. But CD Baby Pro, which kind of all plays, a lot of these are all very royalty centric. And as you know, we've discussed on the podcast and a lot of exciting developments in the music industry, a lot of new revenue streams and things that have kind of been gray areas that people are trying to solidify. And with CD Baby Pro, we're helping artists collect royalties that were otherwise going uncollected. So it's pretty exciting. I've been excited about it as an artist myself.
Yeah, I know. I just opted in my album actually the other day. The basics are that, you know, anytime your music gets used in like radio, TV, internet streaming, on
You're really selling this new service.
Whenever your music is purchased digitally overseas.
Yeah, so foreign mechanicals, domestic mechanical royalties from streaming services like Spotify. The thing is, most artists are mistaken to believe that if they've affiliated with ASCAP or BMI, that they're covered for all this stuff, which isn't true. That's just a piece of the puzzle. So what we're doing is helping them represent the publishing side of their music. And even if artists have set up their own publishing company, there's still a lot of aspects of this that they're not tapping into, like the foreign mechanical royalties that are just royalties that are just sitting there. If you have sales in foreign territories, those territories are supposed to pay out those royalties. Those retailers in those territories are supposed to pay out those royalties, but they don't know who you are, and they'll only work with publishing companies. So that's a big key piece to this.
Yeah, and a lot of it, I think, is also educating artists. I feel like a lot of artists don't understand that these royalties are available for them to collect, and it is a very complicated sort of diluted field where it's really easy to get confused or discouraged. And CD Baby Pro sort of just does everything for you. We go out and collect all the royalties international and as well as in the US, and just makes it really easy for artists to know and feel confident that they're getting all the royalties that they're owed for the use of their music.
Yeah, and kind of playing into the subject of our discussion in just a bit, the thing that I was so excited about when we were developing this is that, you know, I've got an older album, independent album, that gets a lot of usage both online and through some placements. And every time I'd go to the ASCAP website to properly register the song, I would just be like, oh, this takes forever and I don't want to do it, and it's a pain in the butt. And this makes that process super easy. And, you know, it's just a matter of making sure you're set up to capitalize on what you're doing with your music. And to me, the value of it was right there. I'm like, I don't want to mess with this. Yeah. Just somebody do it for me. So
it was that process is such a pain that I haven't even registered. My latest album was not, it's kind of old now. It came out like 2.5 years ago. I still haven't registered those songs because it's such a pain.
Yeah.
So with this, now I just press a couple buttons and it's all done for me.
And you can, you know, since you work here, you can get paid while you're doing it.
Yeah, good point. It's like product development testing.
Yeah, research.
Right.
So yeah, so that's a new thing we're doing. You'll hear more about that. We've got some episodes dedicated to kind of unpacking the whole music publishing idea. There's a lot of confusion around it, and it's confusing, but there's so much money in that area, and that's kind of where the big money is in music. So it's important that artists understand, and we'll have more on that soon. You know, the Pandora struggle and the whole Copyright Act, they kind of go hand in hand. Pandora's, you know, kind of bragging here about how many users they have, how many artists are getting played, and I don't think they listed any amount of royalties they're paying, but the idea that, you know, there's a lot of action happening here, but we need to pay artists less.
Yeah.
It's always the artist
who get the short end of the stick. Yeah. on in the name of business.
Yes. Yes. If they announced they were going to pay the IT crowd less, I mean, they would cease to exist, right? But, you know, screw the artists.
I'm always like, on the one hand, because I have some acquaintances that work at Pandora, I'm always pretty sympathetic and I want them to succeed because I like these people that work there. And then on the other hand, I'm like, wait, your business model is you can't abide. You're failing essentially because you can't pay artists what the law says they're supposed to be paid. Well, maybe you don't deserve to be a business.
That's true. That's true.
So I don't know if that's a harsh statement, but, yeah. Or if the laws need to be changed either way, but.
Well, and that's what, you know, the Copyright Office is trying to actually get underway. I know it's been little pieces of, you know, copyright issues have been dealt with in Congress recently, but there's a growing movement to actually get a complete overhaul of the copyright law that would address a lot of these things and really to accommodate a lot of the new revenue streams that digital services are providing and really put some clarity on some issues that have kind of been hanging out there, and some of that would directly relate to Pandora. So It sounds like there's some momentum building. I would assume it's still years off, but it's probably something that's going to be more and more in the headlines as they move to make that a reality.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Pandora, you know, it's struggling in the same way that social networks are struggling. Making a profitable business out of something that's free for users is like a problem that not just Pandora has, but like almost every internet company that starts out with a freemium model. Right. And it may not just be the music industry. It may be that, you know, businesses just need to get better at monetizing their services.
They just need to sell to Google, because when Google buys you, suddenly all your problems go away.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's the news. And there's so many cool things happening and interesting things happening that there'll be some great headlines coming up. So today we wanted to have a little discussion. I believe the three of us were sitting around chatting.
Yeah. Yeah, when he came up with the subject.
And Bolton, you just threw out this line that I thought, hey, that's a good idea. We should discuss that. And it was, are you prepared to go viral? And the interesting thing is, here at CD Baby, we see a lot of artists who will just be, you know, cruising along, and then suddenly they do something. A lot of times it's a video, and all this attention will be drawn to them. And many times we see artists aren't even prepared for that attention. And so kind of the scenario is, you come up with the perfect idea, whether it be a video or a song, blog post or something else, that suddenly makes you go viral. And then the problem is there was no groundwork done to capitalize on the sudden burst of success.
Right.
So the question is, what do you need to do to make sure that if something goes big, you're not left scrambling to play catch up? And we're not talking about, you know, like a record deal or something like that. We're talking about internet, something viral. Artists have, you know, again, videos, or even just a song suddenly becomes very timely to current events and starts getting shared, and the artist is kind of, you know, left scrambling.
Yeah, it could be some very simple stuff like not having a link on your YouTube video to where people can buy, you know, your song, to some more complicated stuff like, you know, making sure that you're set up to get paid royalties from streaming services and YouTube, and, you know, you're distributed internationally. There's sort of a wide breadth of things to talk about. And I believe we all sort of have our own takes on it for today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I think we should start out with the basics. I mean, Rob Lee, Chris? I don't know if our audience knows you at Rob Lee. Now they do. So.
Not the bolt.
That's how here in the office we separate the two. Otherwise, you know, two Chris's, we now have two Tracy's. I mean, it's just madness. So, I don't know if you were going to mention some of the basics.
Yeah, I was going to talk about distribution and just simply having your music available to buy. One of the examples I think probably all of us have thought of is Rebecca Black. She had that song, It's Friday, Friday, Gotta Get Down on Friday, which was this viral YouTube thing. And I think we were all sitting in the office one morning when it still had like 60, 70, 80,000 views or something. And we're realizing, whoa, this thing is catching on. I think later that day it almost had 1 million views. I can't remember the stats exactly, but we were all thrilled, and then we looked and we're like, oh my God, she's a CD Baby artist. Which was, you know, either well-timed or she just was prepared. She was ready to go viral. So she had her music available through CD Baby, which meant you could buy it on iTunes, you could buy it on Amazon, you could listen to it on Spotify. It's available all over the world. And that's just kind of a no-brainer thing. You never know where, when, and how something's going to take off. You could all of a sudden find that one of your videos resonates in Portugal or in Germany or whatever. So you got to have your music available for those people that are going to, you know, be stoking the fires of the hype machine. And that was the one thing I was going to say.
But that one, you know, is an important example, because it's amazing how many artists I'm coming across these days that are like, I'm just going to sell my music here or there. And if you do have something take off, it's really important that you're everywhere so people can access you from however they like to enjoy music, you know?
Right, right.
And I tell the artists all the time that, you know, it's a worldwide music culture these days. I mean, people enjoy music around the world, and some places they want a CD. Some places they want to use iTunes. Some places iTunes isn't even available. So the idea of just being on iTunes will cover you is kind of a misnomer as well. And so, you know, the idea of everything you're doing, so many artists are trying to promote themselves and get success, but then it's like if something does hit, they're missing out by not having their music available.
Well, and you have these sort of content systems that people are locked into. Like if you're an Apple person and you might buy all your music from iTunes, but if you're a Amazon, you know, subscriber, you might buy all your music from Amazon or Google Play. And I think that people get really comfortable buying music a certain way, and they're sort of hesitant to go and do it other ways. So if giving people as many options as possible ensures that you're not excluding anyone, and getting, you know, maximum sales.
Yeah, definitely. Not even just exclusive to the digital realm. Like, I think the UK, almost 50% of their music sales now is digital, but in a lot of countries it's still, you know, 70, 80, 90% CDs. So having a variety of formats and making sure you've got a retail solution set up either through your own website or through a service like CD Baby, where we can ship CDs as well.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Rebecca Black and the idea of going viral altogether is that, you know, it's going to be a big explosion and then it goes away. And so that's the idea of, like, are you prepared to go viral with someone like Rebecca Black? She has made a considerable amount of money just off of the downloads of that song. And we can see what the exact number is because we do her distribution. And it's more than what many artists make being on a major label with some success.
But, being independent can really pay.
But anyway, the idea of that, you know, going viral, it's going to be this explosion that you're going to capitalize on. And if you're not, you know, properly set up, that's just not, you're not going to get that back. Fortunately for someone like Rebecca, her video is, you know, about a specific day of the week. And so every Friday she kind of has this little resurgence of views as it gets passed around again. People want to hear it. But, you know, for most artists, whether it be like Walk Off the Earth, where they're all playing, you know, that song, that Gaudier song with on one guitar, that went crazy viral for them and kind of boosted their career. But now it's been done. Everyone else is doing that. So eventually that kind of viral video is going to lose steam and not produce like it did in the past. So you just got to be prepared to take advantage of that and definitely making sure you're available, you know, where people can buy and actually pay you for it is even better.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of levels of going viral. I mean, we're talking about some of the largest sort of examples of music videos going viral. But, you know, anytime you expand beyond your normal fan reach and reach audiences outside of your friends and fans, you're basically going viral. That sharing of your content that sort of happens on any sort of exponential level is a little bit of going viral. And that's why you need to be prepared, is so that when you do have that one hit, you know, that one video, that one song, that one blog post or image that gets passed around a ton, that you really take advantage of that situation.
All right, so this is for the Bolt. Nothing frustrates me more than when somebody passes me a link or something to a band I hadn't heard of, I like it, and then I go and search for them online and I can't find any information about them.
Yeah.
So I know you had some checklist items around that topic. It's amazing how many artists still don't have a website beyond Facebook or don't have any relevant information about what they're doing, even while they're having some success. It's, yeah. It blows my mind.
A lot of artists will just, you know, throw up a Facebook page or a Bandcamp page or something like that with, you know, some links to their social network site and call it good. And there's a lot of reasons why that can hurt you. We actually experienced this firsthand recently when Brad, who works in the marketing department, saw a couple of music reviewers actually complaining on Twitter about how when they're looking for bands to write about them, that they can't find actual websites that have the information that they need. And this is very common where like a reviewer, a booker, an editor, like they look for your information because they want to help out your career and the information is not there. And a lot of times that means you get passed up and you don't have, you know, you don't have that opportunity. I know that if I saw a viral video, I would be very, and I've done this before, you know, like I type in the band name out and I want to know things about them. I want to know like, you know, how they became the band that they are, like how they made the video, you know, if they have albums for sale. Like I actually, if something really grabs me, like I want to know all sorts of things about them. And the same thing goes with journalists and editors and, you know, record label execs and all those people that, you know, would be interested in the origins of a viral video.
Yeah. And, you know, I think something you kind of mentioned in there that I'm always interested in when I see a viral video is when the idea behind it or, you know, the experience that they're going through as this kind of instant success is happening and kind of the story behind it. I mean, you know, obviously you may do a video where you weren't like expecting it to go viral because most of it is unexpected, but once something starts happening, even if it's on a smaller scale, starting to make reference to that on your site or kind of build a story around that is always helpful. There's an artist, I forget his last name, his name's Dave, but he did the United Breaks Guitars video, and he just did that kind of because he told United he was going to do it, but he did it mainly because he wanted to, you know, just verbalize and make a, you know, video.
Vent.
vent about his broken guitar, which, Chris, you now have a broken guitar thanks to United.
United still breaks guitars.
Yeah, you wrote a blog post about that. But
I did. It's on the DIY Musician blog if anyone wants to hear the horror stories about United cracking my guitar en route to Toronto.
Yeah, so anyway, They broke this guy's guitar. He makes a video. He wasn't expecting anything really from it, but then suddenly the press is calling him like not like the very next day, and it didn't not that many views into the video, and it was only like 10,000 or something like that. But anyway, it started building this story, and so all these people started searching for information about the story behind the video.
Right.
And so he fortunately capitalized on it quite well, and now he's got a full-time or a big part of what he's doing is a speaking about the whole experience, and he's able to play music and make a decent living, and it was just kind of an interesting, if you look him up, how he capitalized on a viral video and kind of laid a foundation for future success with it.
Yeah, that's always like the thing I'm most interested in is seeing how people respond to what's happening in response to their video and how they can parlay it into the next thing, or you know, watching to see if they're prepared to go viral is almost as exciting as the thing that's making them go viral. Yeah. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure, for sure. I do have a list here of some things as far as I think, you know, having your own website is number one, but having the right sort of content on your website is also very important. So I'll go through these things really quickly. First, you want your own domain name, and you want your own domain name, you know, www.yourbandname.com. You want it to be your band name. You don't want it to be an abbreviation. You want it to be something that someone would type into a search engine to find you. And then once you have that domain name and you have a website, you want to make sure that you have like a really good bio, you have song samples, press kit, album reviews, lyrics. You want to make sure that you have either a store right on your site or some really obvious links where people can buy your music. This goes along with having a press kit, but you want to have high-res photos. If someone wants to write about you, they're going to need a high-res photo to put in the article. You want ways for people to be able to contact you, obviously, email, phone numbers, stuff like that. And you also want share buttons so that if somebody does, you know, like your video and hopefully you've embedded that video on your website, they can share it, easily share it on their social networks and with their friends. And yeah, I think that a blog is really important. You don't have to, you know, write a blog post every day, but having a blog makes it easy for people to weigh in and comment. And if something did go viral, you could start posting about the experience, as Kevin was suggesting.
Yeah, definitely the thing I'd notice most bands, most maybe kind of young bands don't have is a way to collect email addresses and build their newsletter.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Seems like a pretty common mistake.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, especially, I mean, if you're going viral and you have thousands of people visiting your website, some of those people might just visit your website and never come back again. It's the one chance you have of actually engaging with them. If you can get them on your email list, even better, because you can start building a relationship with them from there.
Kind of shifting gears a little bit. I think probably the most frustrating thing that we see bands deal with as far as like going viral and they kind of discover on the back end is you know, finding out they're not really set up to capture revenue off of any of this stuff. You know, if they're signed up, you know, with CD Baby, we have them on iTunes that, and all the other stores and our site, you know, it's pretty easy to go, okay, I'm good there. Even though some artists still don't do that. But the beyond that, you know, specifically with YouTube and some of the other things that are out there, you know, artists, we've had it happen a lot where they contact us and they're trying to figure out how they can capitalize and recapture some revenue that, you know, they weren't signed up with, affiliated with a PRO. So they're losing all performance royalties and they're not signed up. They don't have anyone representing their music for like mechanicals and stuff like that. So that's one thing that, you know, like we were talking about CD Baby Pro, I think is a cool feature for artists, you know, just your setup. And if something happens, you're going to get the money.
So how's it work? If a video goes viral, do I get paid every single time someone watches it if I'm set up correctly?
Well, there's a couple things. There's performance royalties that are generated by the, you know, the playing of the video, and there's the songwriter portion of that and the publisher portion of that. Where most artists miss out is that they might have affiliated as a songwriter. A lot of artists think that covers them, but then they're still not registered their song, so even if their song goes crazy viral in a video, nobody knows it's theirs.
Right, so you've signed up to ASCAP or BMI, but the ASCAP or BMI doesn't know this is your song, basically. So
yeah. And so getting all that handled properly. And then there's also ad revenue share for, you know, the whole content ID program. So that's something, you know, we're doing with our sync licensing program, making sure that artists are getting that money for their videos.
And not just their own videos, but any video on YouTube that uses their music.
Yeah, because I mean, that's a good point, because it could be that your song gets used in something that you didn't create that goes viral. And it's not a matter of, well, you know, I'm not making videos, my band doesn't really make videos, but you could have a fan that, you know, does something. I don't know, what's the latest craze now? I mean, there was planking for a while, then there was something else, and
I think one of the more recent things is Ayukan. The people who take pictures of themselves like they're video game fighters.
See? Wow.
I missed out on this one.
Wow. People on the internet have some free time. But so, I mean, it could be something like that where one of your fans does something that's a part of like the latest meme or the latest, you know, kind of internet craze and puts your song to it and it goes crazy viral. And of course, that art, that fans doesn't know about any of this stuff and isn't going to make sure that, hey, let me make sure this music is all taken care of so they get all their money. I think, and so it's those opportunities happen as well, that something else could go viral that you get attached to.
I think you just outlined the very best way to go viral is for someone else to make you go viral.
Yeah.
So if you can encourage that to happen, it's less work and more money.
And that's why we got into music in the first place. Yeah, it is. It is a something that fans, I mean, artists should be encouraging their fans to do more than I see happening, is like, use our songs in your videos. Go make the craziest video. We'll have a contest, the wackiest video, or jump on some sort of internet meme that's happening at the time. Do everyone make a video like this and use our song. The winner gets a prize. And, you know, if you get a lot of those videos being created, that can start adding up to some serious plays and some serious money. That is a nice supplement to, you know, your sales and everything else. But I don't see people doing it all that often. So go do it.
Video contests.
So what else do we got? Anything else?
I just was thinking, my friend, my housemate actually, was in a band that was called Euromotion. They're sort of a jokey band that pretended they were from the future, and they'd come to the past to steal dance moves. And they became kind of a college underground YouTube hit, and people made all these sort of fan videos, like spent tons of time like making these like videos where they acted out the lyrics of the songs and wore costumes, and they used the actual music. My housemate doesn't do the band anymore, but he just always thought it was kind of amusing that he had basically gone viral, that his songs were, there's like college kids in different towns all over the country, but he'd never, you know, he never took the time to actually get signed up with ASCAP or BMI. So, and I don't know if he will. I've tried to encourage him before, but he's not
just
super
just
motivated.
Get him on CD Baby Pro, man.
CD Baby Pro is the answer.
There you go.
So should we do like a checklist and review?
Sure.
It'd be have worldwide distribution of multiple formats, yes, for your music.
And
sign up for your sync licensing program so you can make money off of YouTube.
Right, which is different from the CD Baby Pro. It's actually something we offer for free when you sign up with CD Baby.
Yeah.
What else? Have a website. Yeah. Collect people's email addresses.
And when, you know, something starts hitting, understand it's going to come and go fast. And so you got to, you know, kind of have a good foundation built, like with the website, especially because if anything happens, the first thing people are going to do is start searching for who you are, especially if it's directly related to you as an artist. If it's like something, a piece of content you created, whether a video, a song, a blog post, some image, anything, they're going to start searching for you. And if they find nothing, you're just not going to capitalize on it. Now, if it's another piece of content that someone else creates, then, you know, it's just a matter of, you still need that good foundation, but you may not be able to react the same way because you may not know about it until it's, you know, already coming and going.
And we've talked about this before, but having a good story that's reflected on your website, in your bio, is so important, because that's going to be the difference between people really connecting all the way through from the viral content to you as an artist and wanting to really share that and identify and connect, because that's, you know, that's what go viral. Stories go viral. So if you can paint the whole picture and in an intriguing and entertaining way, you'll have a lot more opportunity for success.
Now we just need to figure out how you actually go viral.
Right. Right.
Which you can find like a bazillion articles online. This is how you actually go viral. But yeah, I don't know. It's...
We have two of those articles, but they both start with the sentence, "We don't know."
We don't know. We fooled you. We got you to read our article.
Yeah. Well, the problem is you can't do what someone else has done before. So you have to do something new.
Like, yep, you know, lay out in the yard and video yourself laying there.
Yeah. Naked.
Thrilling.
Thrilling. Somehow everyone else on the planet will follow along. All right. Well, we do have an email address where people can email us. If you've had any sort of viral success, we'd love to hear about it. Hear your story, what happened, how you capitalized on it, how you missed the boat in some areas, and maybe some advice you'd have some other artists if, you know, kind of reflecting on your experience of going viral. You can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. And we have a listener line. Someone might want to check and make sure that's still working.
And make sure that's still working.
It's 360-524-2209. And you can call
us.
And
if that doesn't work, I guess we'll find another number for next podcast.
Yeah, that's right. I'll just give them your cell phone number.
Okay.
But yeah. And, you know, call those or email us there with any comments, questions that maybe you'd like addressed on the podcast, but would especially like to hear from artists if you've had any sort of viral success, to hear from you about that and tell us your story. But, you know, for anything else relating to CD Baby, there's another email for that. We occasionally get the random person that's, you know, emails us there. It's kind of odd.
When's my song going to be on iTunes?
Yeah, yeah. If you email that to that email address,
you might not get an answer.
Yeah, you might.
But because we don't know. Soon.
Soon. The answer is always soon. Cool. So it's nice to be podcasting again. More episodes on the way. In fact, I'm recording another one tomorrow.
Excellent. It feels great to be back in the saddle.
Yeah, and we're using all this fancy technology to make it happen.
Yeah, it took us a while to figure out how to get Chris in Portland, Maine, recorded along with us in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, yeah.
We can see each other. It's like we're all in the same room.
I know. It's amazing. We just can't hug. That's the only problem.
Well, I'll come out there in a month and we can...
There we go.
Maybe we can record like 20 episodes in a week.
There we
totally.
Go.
Sounds
Excellent.
Good.
All right, cool. Well, that's going to do it. We'll catch you next time.
Adios.
Peace.
You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.